Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome along to the Wise Men Say podcast. We are in the Marquis Cornwallis, is that right? How you pronounce it? Central London?
Yes.
It is.
Central London, yeah, that's how you pronounce it.
Well, it's definitely how you pronounce Central London,
yeah. London,
It's a beautiful pub, isn't it? Christmas decorations out in full floor.
Yeah, it's a delight.
It's
beautiful.
It's taken us most of the working day to get here, of course, because it's London and it's miles away. I feel like we need to thank the mines and shipyards for letting us out and giving us the day so we can make our trip down south. And myself, Stephen Goldsmith, and Gareth Barker, joined by Richard Easterbrook as well.
Hello, are you all right?
We are, and Richard's gone in on the rums nice and early. First pint of the evening.
Yeah, not pint of rum.
Well, you know, no. Although pints is kind of just like a metaphor now anyway. You're out for pints doesn't necessarily mean you're actually going to drink pints of lager. I find.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't want to go too early on the pints. There's a bloat.
Fair enough.
Yeah. And Richard is very bad at being hungover.
Yeah. We can't afford any issues coming back from.
No one you're the driver, no.
Exactly. Yeah.
We're probably stranded in central London, past checkout time tomorrow. So. What do we want to start? Where do we want to start? Do we elaborate why we're here a little bit, or should we just let people not bother?
Do that, and then we're here because we're going to the FSA Awards tonight because we're nominated for Best Club Podcast. So we've come down to have a nice evening, and you know, just nice to be nominated. Not really bothered about winning particularly. It'll just be like a good laugh.
I thought we were up for British Breakthrough Act.
Yeah, well.
That's what we're dressed like.
That's my solo stuff. I'm down for on that one. So I don't want to take credit for that myself. But yeah, so thanks to all the people who, like, listen, keep listening.
I was going to say, they didn't do anything. It's not like they've ordered for us.
Well, I think, I don't know how it works. But
we've been nominated despite you as a listener, I think.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, we've done what?
No, thanks for your support, yeah.
700 episodes.
Yeah, but like, seriously, thanks for your support.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And like, all the lads as well who haven't come down because they can't this evening, because it would have been nice if a few more lads down here to enjoy it with us, and all their hard work. And you know, I'm sure the listeners appreciate everything, like Matt and Rory and Tom and like in the start Craig and like Chris, who's done another great article on the website today, which has obviously provoked the usual response. So Chris is going to have to move house again. So yeah, just all the people over the years have, and to say Rory, obviously, he's allowed, Frankie, obviously.
We've all moved on.
Mickey, all the people, so thank you.
Yeah. And the ones associated with the club aren't allowed to speak to us anymore.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good thing, isn't it?
There you go. That's it. Let's do what we're supposed to be doing and talk about the match of the weekend.
Yeah, well, I don't know, just finally on that, we could use as to let the let them know that they shouldn't be hosting awards in London. It goes everything there against, really. Don't care about making us travel down here. No. For us to inevitably lose to Charlton again, probably, because their podcast's up for it. So it'd be a very familiar feeling for us anyway. So,
football,
game of football the weekend. Sunderland got back to winning ways. Hooray. Overall, summary and opinions of the performance?
I thought we looked... It looked a lot more likely in the first half, didn't it? It was very, a lot quicker. You know, we're seen to have a good shape and a good idea of what we want to do to try and create opportunities. And we'll talk a bit about why that was a bit unusual later, actually, when we'll come on probably the team more in detail. But yeah, you know, good thinking by Pritchard for the corner, who's had couple of good games recently, so that's really encouraging, because I'm starting to get a bit worried about, you know, his impact. And obviously an unbelievable strike from Broadhead, and then second half weathered, quite literally weathered the storm.
Yeah, well, I asked for a summary and that's what we got, so let's drill down a bit deeper now. And in terms of starting with the team selection, three set of halves, Richard, we've spoken about this, actually we were speaking about this last week, saying this could be an option for him. Myself and Gareth had that discussion, and that's what he's gone for. And we'll get it in the second half, but generally the team selection and your thoughts on that.
I think it was born out of necessity, wasn't it, with the injuries that we've had, and it is very patched up, but it looked functional without being spectacular. And I think we need to be grinding those results out for us to start getting this confidence back and to be playing like we were at the start of the season with the zip and the confidence and the swagger that we clearly had. We needed results like Saturday's to get us back towards there. It's a process to get back to the confidence that we had. And I think, you know, the players that we've criticised in the past over the last few games, I think they stood up to the test today. I thought on Saturday, I thought Gooch played really well, and Wright, who's been maligned a few weeks in a row, I thought he played really well in a three. I thought that seems to suit him better.
Well, we've seen that before, haven't we? Under Parkinson, he played. That's when he excelled, when he played in that position.
Yeah, I mean, was it really a three? I mean, it was more like.
I was getting all philosophical on us now.
It wasn't, but well, this was going to come on to. So I would argue, I mean, that was Lyndon Gooch's best game of the season by an absolute stretch, and like, he wasn't in the 11. So we've kind of stumbled onto this selection because Evans got injured in the warm up, and the guy who's come in the last minute has been our best player in that first half, in my opinion. And then Doyle was more left back, and then it was almost like that. Then you had this kind of wing back on the right hand side in Gooch.
Yeah.
But it's like, well, if we did
more like the back three Jack Ross did.
Yeah,
he did that, didn't he?
Yeah, but if Winchester was playing in that area, would he be doing the work that Gooch was doing up and down that side? Well, it's complete. Like, Winchester gets up and down, but he's a completely different kind of out of position right back to Lyndon Gooch, is not out of position right back, and it just. You know, I would say like most of our attacking movements came from that right hand side through Lyndon Gooch in that first half, and he was really excellent, and it was great to see him coming back to form, because when he's at it, he looks like a player who could play at a high level. The problem is it's the dips. But I thought, like, generally his final ball was really good, which is always a criticism of him, and his work rate and everything was excellent. But It's a funny one, because if Evans hadn't got injured in the warm up, then we wouldn't have seen him.
Yeah, I mean, Evans getting injured in the warm up's quite, you know, I mean, Lee Johns would have been sitting there, and he said backstage there, but not backstage, you know what I mean? Like in the changing room or whatever, saying
Maybe that's what they call it, in like the Paul Moore world.
Well, it is.
Yeah,
it,
head backstage.
It's an entertainment business, so yeah. Why not? Thinking like, oh well, you know, if Evans can just get through this 90 minutes, he's been injured in the warm up. Oh, all right, okay. It's
you have to go back to the green room and turn it on.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, I mean, it's pointless saying more than we've already said on that. It's something they need to address in January. It looked like a dodgy side, and not in terms of ability, but in terms of his fitness issues and what you're going to get out of him. It looks like that's unfortunately looking like the way it was. So, goals then. In the first half, and you've mentioned the corner there that hit the post, hit the defender, and then went in, which was a good pace on the corner. Nice to see that happen. Your thoughts on the equaliser? Sloppy?
Yeah, I mean,
keeper should have saved it, shouldn't he?
Yeah, should have saved it. Well, it's easy for us to say that, but yeah, he should have got he sort of went down in instalments a bit, didn't he, to that one. But it was just generally a bit,
didn't get closed down either quickly enough.
It was just a little, I mean, it was the first time they seemed to inject a little bit of pace into the game, and maybe that caught us a bit off guard, because we had all the possession really, and we got that first goal, and I thought, well, we were playing here, we'll get two or three before half time. And then they just scored out of nowhere, really. So it felt a little bit like, oh, here we go again, how are we going to respond to this? So to get back ahead as quickly as we did was, you know, really important, I think, because if we'd got to half time at 1-1 and they're attacking us in the second half with that wind blowing that way, I think we'd have struggled to win that game.
Yeah, no, I agree. It was kind of essential that we responded really quickly, and it was a testament to the kind of the whole team's game management at that point. You know, for us to grind it out and to literally weather the storm for the keeper to face all those, what was it, four or five corners in a row, it felt like, in the second half, and as the wind was really whipping up, you know, the conditions got worse, and I think we dealt with the conditions much better. You look at the keeper, the distribution for Hoffman in the second half, he gets a lot of criticism for his distribution, but the ability to kind of do that kind of low flat kick that kind of cut through the wind, whereas their keeper was the amount of times he looped it up into the sky and everyone was doing the ironic cheers as it looped back kind of 10 yards away from where he kicked it. We seemed to deal with that better, but they had a good go at us in the second half and we had something to hang on to as well. So
yeah, no, well that's it, and as Gareth said there, the second goal gave us something to hang on to, because it could have been an entirely different story second half, and what a goal it was as well. Broadhead looks a player, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, the way he took the ball initially was excellent, like real quality touch, and then he's just put his foot through, hasn't he? But it's like, you know, it was as soon as it left his foot, he could see exactly where it was going. It was
Winchester took the man away as well to give him that space to make the run, but it was the camera angle that we had, obviously everyone else had as well, to be right behind it.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And you could see how true it was, and that was the very definition of the top corner. He might have even nicked the post on the way in, but it was a perfect hit. And I just think you get that with Broadhead. He's a little bit different to have kind of Broadhead and Stewart up top. I think it's a bit of a partnership there. And Broadhead's movement, for a start, I think is miles ahead of what we've had at the club in recent years, maybe not since Madger. The movement that he can add, just the ability to kind of take a ball in a half turn, take a touch out of his feet, and he's away from any danger. And from to find the space that he did on Saturday, I thought really impressive.
We saw that partnership against Cheltenham at home, and it's two up front. It's finding a way to get two up front rather than Broadhead being one of the wider in the front three, and I know he's done that as well, but I mean, this sort of new formation you stumble upon allows that a little bit more. But it's encouraging, isn't it? Because then, if Stewart does have an off game, although he did well in parts, it's important we keep him fit now, Broadhead.
It's interesting, actually, with referencing that Cheltenham game, though, I felt as though the way we played in this one was very different to that game. The way we've used Broadhead and Stewart together recently, I don't feel as though they've struck up a partnership in playing this way yet. They feel a little bit. It feels a little bit disjointed. It feels a little bit. Well, almost Stewart's like coming out of the dangerous areas a bit more regularly, which, you know, it's good in some respects because he's good at lots of all round stuff. But
well, you want him in the paw more.
Yeah, you want him. You know, around the penalty area and getting on the end of things. He hasn't had many chances. We had that one at the weekend where it's a good play and he's made a good run and he's lost his footing, which is a shame. But I'm not saying I don't think he's out of form as well. I think he's playing. I think he's been our best player by a mile this season in terms of consistency. He's barely had a bad game. I didn't think he had a bad game at the weekend either. It just the ball doesn't seem to be falling in the penalty area as regularly. It's just out of the fact we're not creating the chances that we were creating in the first 10-12 games of the season.
Yeah, I mean, a win like this is gonna boost confidence. Obviously, we'll talk where we'll have a little bit of a look at the bigger picture just now, just to wrap up or just to finish talking about the game itself. Thoughts on the second half, Richard? I mean, you mentioned there that the wind was behind Cambridge. I don't know how bad the weather was down there. I didn't get down. I don't think they had it as bad as we did up in the northeast, where I think naturally you wake up and people's fences have blew off and walls have come down. That's how bad we got the storms in the northeast. I don't think it was that, but the wind was clearly impacting the game, and they are known as a bit of a direct team anyway. So that was. It was always going to be difficult, and they didn't concede second half.
Yeah, that's essential. I thought they might. Thought they might have conceded. I thought, you know, if Cambridge were to play the direct game and they had the wind behind them, you know, one punt from the keeper at the back can feasibly get into the area and someone can get on the end of it. You know, I thought that Matt Smith, although he was impressive, and a bit of a handful. It's just good that we've grounded out and found a different way to win a game rather than like kind of completely killing off teams. We've had to dig deep and ground a result out, and sometimes we haven't shown that character. It starts sounding like bloody Brendan Rodgers there, but showing the character that we've shown, and it's impressive because they've had the backs against the wall in recent weeks, and to come up with that kind of battle in the second half, it's a very early. It's very early days for this particular run, but I think it's really important that we did that with it.
Was Sunderland allowing Cambridge to constantly keep the ball coming back because the attacks kept breaking down in the same way, whether it be the keeper coming out punching it or not enough quality on the final ball, or do you think Sunderland were giving up a little bit too much possession in the middle part? Was it by follow design that, do you think?
I think. It's difficult to know, and I think unless you're out there, and I think the fact the pattern of the game with both halves flowed towards that goal wasn't coincidental. And I think, like, if you were going to be like mega cynical, you might say, well, how well did we play in the first half? Because was that advantage so important to be kicking towards that end? So. No, I think that would be harsh because I think we did move the ball a lot better, but we probably had our confidence up because we did have so much of the ball in their final third. But I think, say, defensively, you know, we've been so meek in the last sort of month, 6 weeks. You know, the kind of goals being conceded, and you know, especially the ones at Rotherham, prime example where we got bullied. You know, this week it was a good, you know, good test. You know, and to be able to stand up to it, and you know, no matter the quality of the opposition.
A big win from as well, because you know, weeks a long time in football, and we were rightly, and Sunderland fans were rightly pissed off that they drew a game of football against a side in the relegation zone. When you're winning the game. And they go down 10 men, and they've showed nothing up until that point to suggest they can trouble you, or that they should be troubling you. And you can only put it down to, well, complacency, tactics, a few different things you can put down to. But we needed that win because suddenly it's 7 points out of 9 now.
That's it. I said in the newsletter that goes out on Fridays that.
Please subscribe to that.
Yes, please do, yeah. Somebody unsubscribed on Friday. I was absolutely furious. It's like,
maybe because of what you're about to be
saying. You've gone the wrong way. That's not what I wanted. But, so I said on Friday, like, the optics change with that win, because one win in 8 becomes 7 points from a possible 9, especially going into the run of games that we've got now. We've got, what's it, 3 home league games on the bounce now. So it's a real opportunity to kind of sit back after that little streak and go, you know, before we go to Arsenal or before we yeah, before we go to Arsenal, we've got that kind of, there's a real opportunity to get quite a lot of points in the bank, like, you know, maximum points almost, and it will get us back on track.
Three home games, like you say there. We will just apologise, that, you know, because we're not, you know, because we're out and about and gallivanting in central London. We aren't going to be able to edit this as thoroughly as we normally would, so they might just drop an advert in any random place where it sees a gap. We could be tactical and say, let's not speak for a second and a half.
I don't know how it works. On
it just looks for a gap and drops it in, doesn't it, if you don't do your own, I think.
It doesn't look for the longest gap, though.
Does it not?
It'll drop the gap, like, when you're halfway through a sentence.
Yeah.
So, like that one.
Yeah, like that one, yeah. That was deliberate, yeah. So you'll get, like, I know Asger and Sazfield, that's what I'm getting at the moment. Every ad break is Asger and Sazfield. But it annoys me because you call it South Shields, which is not how we call it. So
what do we call it?
South Shields.
Oh, so you mean the intonation on the word? Well, yeah.
It'd be great if the advert was between the South and the Shields. If that's happened, then at any point, it'd be absolutely delightful.
That's interesting because people from Sunderland, when we talk about Newcastle and you put the intonation on the new, people from Newcastle say Newcastle. And people from down south say Newcastle, so
I
there you go.
I think it's because they can't speak properly in
the Well, possibly, you know. Well, it's certainly not Newcastle. It's new. The word new is clear, isn't it? So it should be Newcastle, but that's enough. That's enough for them anyway. Right. Three home games in a row. We've got, obviously, Oldham before that.
Four home games in a row.
Four home games if you include, the non-league game, obviously the cup game. I mean, this is our trophy to defend this, isn't it? But with the injuries stacking up, if ever there's a season we could really do without it. We've been there and we've done it now, haven't we?
Yeah, I mean, you could say we could do without the League Cup as well, but that's a different kettle of fish. Now we've got a kind of a nice little...
I could do without it because I'm worrying about what's coming. And
but it's nice little away day, and it's, you know, nice to go to a stadium where you don't have to walk through someone's garden to get your seat. It's maybe a reminder of, you know, what could lie ahead.
Getting beat 7-0 off somebody in the Premier League.
But
that's a great reminder. You were once there. Let's strive and get that back.
Yeah, we've won the Football League trophy now. Can we not just declare? Yeah. Let someone else have it.
Well, that's what I mean. Well, what normally you would say we have won it, and you've been on about this, Gav, since you come down and say no, you feel like a club Sunderland size should be winning that trophy while they're down here, when they inevitably get promoted, because we will eventually at some point. You know, you've ticked both boxes. So I would normally say, yeah, we've done it now, we've ticked that box, let's just entirely write it off. But I guess the fact that no fans were allowed at Wembley puts a little bit of a different spin on this, because we broke the Wembley hoodoo, but nobody was there to see it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, you know, desperate to win that tournament. But if you get through, how many rounds remaining? There's four games left?
No idea.
Or maybe five.
Lots of blank expressions. Nobody knows.
I would say, you know, you would select that side tactically at this stage. And then if you get there, if you get to that quarter final, maybe that stage you go, right, we've got this far.
Semi finals for me before you start. Yeah.
Well, yeah, fair enough. The premise is the same. I think maybe this year that's what we'll be doing.
All of them are terrible, aren't they? I think. They'll just sack the manager again, haven't they? We've got about 10 managers in 3 years.
8 years or something, yeah.
I think 3 years, I think they've gone double figures.
Really?
Yeah.
Who's the manager now then?
Joe Ryan? No idea. You should know better than expecting that level of research, should I? No idea. Absolutely no idea.
Of course, if you want to see levels of research, you can listen to the final preview pod that we did for the first time we're in the final. Obviously, with Matthew, he did a great job of explaining absolutely nothing that happened on the road to Wembley that time. It was a great opportunity to do some of the level of podcasting that we can achieve.
The best thing about that. Last year's Oldham, was it Oldham that we played, that they had the gym in the main stand, and there were no fans were allowed in, but the fans, like, there's a couple of our lot went into the gym.
Brother,
no, I didn't want to name names, but
he's
turned up with his gym towel at a 90 minute workout. But nah, I'm not I don't want to sound like I'm kind of writing it off. I'm not that bothered about it. I think it may be fine now. Like, you know, get a few youngsters in the team, and you know, I'm looking, if we do get to the final, that's going to come at a totally the wrong time. It's going to give us another game in hand to make up.
That's crucial in March, April time. So we don't need it.
Sorry.
They've had 8 managers, all of them, since 2018. So, Richie Wellens, Frankie Bone, that's not a real name. Pete Wilds, that's not a real name either. Paul Scholes, Pete Wild again. Laurent Bernard, Nuruddin Mamaria, Harry Kuehl.
I'm glad you're doing this, Stephen.
And Keith Curl. Eight managers in 3 years.
That Marmaria guy is like...
They must have a new one because I can't even see him.
He's at Burton now with Jimmy Floyd.
Oh, yes, Dino, I know Marmaria. You mean. Yeah.
He's quite a popular chap there, I think. They've got massive issues with, I mean... Not to analyse all of them, I mean, the game in too much depth. But they have got big issues off the field with the ownership, etc. So, yeah, it's quite a turbulent... place to be, I think. So they've got that lad Ballambula, I think it is, the central midfielder, who is I think he went up to Middlesbrough and had a trial, even though he was still contracted to Oldham.
That's very 1980s, isn't it?
But he did, and Borlaug decided not to take.
That's his crop then.
I don't know about that.
He won't be playing because they're not going to put a full strength team out anyway. Looking at the list of all the managers over the last sort of 15 years, and Lee Johnson's name just jumped out at us. And Joe Royle went back in 2009. Can you remember that?
No.
Because Joe Royle was obviously, you know, all of them were in the Premier League. The first ever Premier League, I believe. And they were always like punched above the weight, and they got the FA Cup semi-final 1 year, didn't they? And Joe Royle was the manager then, wasn't he? And I just noticed that Joe Royle, of which Matt Keelan is the Sunderland fan club chairman, went back in 2009. Who knew? But anyway, he probably did. Next three home games then, I mean, we'll be back obviously for the preview show later in the week, and Matt will look at the game against Oxford in more detail. But you know, we said this last week again, fans haven't been a part of any problem with Sunderland's form. 6 out of 7 games in the league they've won at home. So really, 3 home games, they should be licking the lips of that, shouldn't they?
Yeah, I mean, the Oxford game will be a really tough one. I mean, as far as streaky teams go, in the time we've been down here, you'd have to say Oxford are like the ultimate streaky team. They look like they're, like, you know, unbeatable, and then they'll not win for 8 games, then they'll go on their own where they win 8-9 and all that. So that's going to be a hard game, and they got a point against Rotherham, who are look head and shoulders above everybody else. Rotherham, really. So, you know, the thing is, though, it's like talking about how big a win the Cambridge game was, and you think at the start of the season you shouldn't be looking at games like the Cambridge game and going, "Fuck." And we needed, boy, did we need that sort of thing, should you? I mean, you should be like ticking that box and going, yeah, that's them, like 3 points there, no problem. I know it's not as simple as that, but it's a bit, I think the fact that we're still looking at these games that are coming up, and really, again, you want at least seven points from your next three games. Because we've lost a bit of ground, and you want to get ahead. Always keep yourself ahead of the game. We've been playing catch up so many times since we've been down here, and thinking, oh well, we've got this game in hand, and if we win that one, you know, we need to get ahead of the game. Get it, like, you know, it's like, you know, in cricket where you've got a big total of chase, you got a head run rate, and it gets easier. That's what we need to do. Don't leave yourself with too much to do at the end of the innings. You've got to get ahead of that run rate and sort of, you know, win the game early, sort of thing. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to make sure that we're going into the, you know, the last 10-15 games of the season in a situation where we're not looking at games in hand. Well, if we win, then we'll be top. You know, we need to make sure we've got some. If we're going to make mistakes, we've still we can recover it rather than every game being the be all and end all.
Three home games now. Need to put the foot down.
I think against Oxford. I mean, against a team like Oxford, I know it's not a criticism at all. But sometimes as fans, we kind of struggle to get up for games like Oxford, like a Shrewsbury or like any of the teams that come to us. Like, you can't really get excited about. It's not a glamour tie as such. But what went on off the pitch last season with Robinson, an elbow gate and all of that, you know, Carl Robinson threatening to call the police and all of that. I think that's probably going to work in our favour, because it's going to create this little off the pitch subplot, and there's going to be a little bit of an atmosphere straight away. That could give us a lift. I think.
See, Oxford seem like they dislike us for some reason. Anyway, I've always got that vibe from them since we've come down here. Like some of these clubs try to create this fake rivalry with. You genuinely don't care about them, and there's always been needle in those Oxford games.
Yeah, it's quite funny because, like, not in a month of Sundays would we consider that to be some kind of rivalry. It's the same as Wigan, and that's not a criticism against
Wigan. It's the Madrox derby.
It is, absolutely is.
We're not allowed to talk about them. If you want to know more about Madrox, and read Chris Weatherspoon's piece on the website today. But don't break his windows or call the police. Just read it.
Stuart.
Take it for what it is. And then, you know, obviously the Rawa meeting's tomorrow night. So hopefully there'll be some answers to all that kind of stuff. But anyway, sorry. He was wearing a 3 years out of date training kit. It's fine, don't worry about it. Relax, Chris.
Anyone else got anything to add? Because we need a top up at the bar. And logistically, it's not going to work. One of us just disappearing to do that. So we'll wrap things up. Nothing? No. Thanks for all your support, as we've always said. And thanks for listening. Matt will be back later on in the week. And yeah, thanks for listening.
Come on, the lads.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.